Good evening, everybody. It's a joy to see you out this evening for our time of church fellowship centered around songs of praise and times of testimony and celebrating our communion together with Christ. We have worked these evenings of regular testimony into the schedule of our church because it is important that we declare regularly God's ever new and continual work among us as his people. And the psalmist reminds us of this in Psalms 96, 1 through 3, which I want to read as kind of the focus of our evening before we get started. Psalms 96, 1 through 3, where the psalmist writes, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name, tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples." Here we're called on by God to testify and to give public testimony to his glorious character and his redeeming work in our lives. And I just want to simply point out tonight from these three verses how we should testify, what we should testify, when we should testify, and where we should testify. Not rocket science, just very simply pointing out some basic details in these three verses. So first, I want you to see from these verses in Psalms 96, 1 through 3, how we should testify to the Lord's character and work in our lives. And sometimes, see, when we come to moments like this, we might think that we are not very skilled or gifted in worshiping the Lord or in testifying of him. But God reminds us here that we can and we should testify of him in a variety of ways, ways that nearly all of us here tonight can participate in. First, we're shown here in these verses that we should sing. The psalmist says in verse 1, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth." So we are called on here to give voice to the affections of our heart to God and his ongoing works through singing. And we should do this. We should lift loud songs of joy before the Lord as his people. And so if we can sing, we should sing. And you'll have an opportunity to sing tonight as a testimony to God's character and his work in our lives. Another way that we are called on to testify to the Lord's character and work in our lives in these verses is to not only sing, but also the psalmist says, bless. The psalmist says at the beginning of verse 2, if you'll notice, he says, "Sing to the Lord, bless his name." That is to publicly give blessing to the Lord, to publicly address God in prayer, praising him for who he is. And we should be doing this. We should publicly tell in prayer how wonderful God is in himself. And so we are called to testify to the Lord's character and work in these verses with a call to sing, with a call to bless, finally with a call to tell or declare. So the psalmist says in verse 2 and verse 3, he says, "Sing to the Lord, bless his name," and then do what? "Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations." So maybe you don't have a great singing voice. You should make a joyful noise anyway. And maybe you're intimidated by public prayer, but that's okay. You need to grow, and we all do. But nearly all of us can open our mouths and just declare how good God is and what he's done in our lives. Whereas to bless is to give a public address to God, to tell or to declare is to give a public address about God. And we should do this. We should tell others about the glories and works of the Lord to others who need to know and be reminded of these things. And so this is how we should testify. We should sing. We should bless. We should tell and declare the goodness of God and the greatness of his work towards us. That's how we should testify. And we will all receive an opportunity to do that tonight. Second, I want you to see here briefly just what we should testify, and I've already given it away, but sometimes we can come to times of testimony, like tonight, and think, well, I don't really have anything that I can testify of. But the psalmist reminds us here that we always have things to testify of as God's people, and I've said it multiple times already, but we are called in these verses to testify of God's glorious character and his saving, marvelous work. We see this laid out in a paralleled fashion in verses 2 through 3, where the psalmist calls us to bless what? He says, bless his name, and then tell of what? His salvation from day to day. And then he repeats this in verse 3 by saying, declare what? His glory among the nations. His what? Marvelous works among all the peoples. Here we're told What we should testify of as God's people. First, we should testify of his character. The psalmist calls on us here to bless his name and declare his glory. So in other words, one of the testimonies you could give tonight is to simply say, I want to praise God that he is a good God. I want to praise God that he's a faithful God, that he's a holy God, a righteous God. Everything you know to be true about God is a reason to worship and to testify of tonight. Because we worship the one true and living God. And we should declare his glories among the nations, as the psalmist says here. And second, we should testify of God's work, as the psalmist calls on us here, to tell of his salvation, his marvelous works among all the peoples. And so this is what we should testify. We should testify of his glorious character and his saving works. Brothers and sisters, we who have tasted and seen that the Lord is good and have seen the glories of his character in the face of Jesus Christ and have experienced his great salvation at his hand, we always have a reason to testify. So I want to challenge you, as we've had these times of testimonies, have you even, and we're going to have an opportunity to do this, have you shared your own salvation testimony in public? Tonight would be a great night to do it if you haven't done so already, because that's exactly what we should be declaring and telling in times like this. And so what should we testify? We should testify to God's glorious character and his saving work. And so we've seen how we should testify and what we should testify, but what about when we should testify? So sometimes we might think, you know what, tonight's just not a good time for me. Maybe I'll share something in the future, but I just don't feel like it is the right time right now. Well, listen, the psalmist shows us in this passage that it is always the right time to testify to who God is and what he is doing in our lives. The psalmist shows us that it is always the right time. As the psalmist tells us at the end of verse 2, we ought to tell of his salvation when? He says from day to day. In other words, it's always a good time to remind others of who God is. It's always the perfect moment to boast in his triumphant saving work. Each new day presents a new opportunity to sing a new song to the Lord and tell of his salvation from day to day. And so tonight is one of those nights. And so I want to encourage you to share a testimony as the Lord lays it upon your heart. This is when we should testify of God's glory and salvation. We should testify each new day. The heavens declare the glory of God day in and day out from the rising of the sun to its setting. Don't you fall short either, we're told in this psalm. So we've seen how we should testify, we've seen what we should testify, we've seen when we should testify, and lastly, I just want you to see where we should testify. And I just want to couch this in this phrase that sometimes we might think, well, you know, the Lord really needs to be testified of over in Europe or in the Middle East or in Asia, but not really here, right? I mean, we're in West Liberty, Ohio, after all. We've got the home court advantage, right? And the answer is no. No, not at all. The Great Commission and the call to testify to God is just as pressing a need here as it is overseas. In fact, if you were to live overseas, your perspective would be that we're the ones that are over there just as much as they are, and we are engaged in as pressing a Great Commission work here in Ohio as everywhere else the saints of God contend for the faith. And so we see here in this passage where the psalmist says that we should testify of God's glory and salvation and marvelous works, it's everywhere, especially here. The psalmist says, sing to the Lord, who all the earth. He says, declare his glory where? Among the nations. His marvelous works where? Among all the peoples, us included. Friends, the glories of our God and King and our great Redeemer's praise must be testified of here in this place. Here and now, and by us in all these ways that are available to us, day in and day out. And so tonight is simply an opportunity to answer the call of Scripture. And our service is going to be very simple. As we've done before in times past, we're going to sing a song together, and then we're going to have a 10-minute time of testimony together. We're going to do this three times, and each song and testimony is going to take on a different focus. During our first time of testimony, we're focusing on Christ being our shepherd, and we can share accounts of how God has led us in unique ways throughout our lives. Then during our second time of testimony, we're going to consider Christ as our vine and share testimonies of how he's given us strength and grace to make it through various moments in life. And then finally, during our third time of testimony, we're going to focus on Christ as our door, share testimonies of how Christ has saved us and brought us to himself. And then that time of testimony will lead right into a celebration of communion together as a conclusion to this evening's testimony service. And I want to be clear too, I don't know if I've clarified this in times past. These are just focuses to help you think about ways you could testify to the Lord. Don't think, oh wait, I wanted to share something, but I don't know if it lands in any of these categories. Share it anyway. We're just trying to prompt and motivate your own heart in ways that you can give testimony to the Lord's goodness tonight. And so with all that in mind, let's begin with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity that we have tonight to declare to you yet again on this new day with new testimonies and new songs from renewed hearts of the glory of who you are and what you have done among us as your people. Father, we pray that you would give us grace tonight to be able to bless your name, to tell of your salvation this evening, to declare your glory and your marvelous works. Father, we thank you that you have opened our eyes to behold your glory and that you have not left us abandoned, but you are constantly working in us and through us for your glory. Father, help us not to keep that to ourselves, but help us to declare how you are showing yourself to us day in and day out. And so, Father, I pray that you would just bless our time in worship and in declaring your praises tonight as your people. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, our first focus for our testimonies this evening, or suggested focus for our testimonies this evening, is Christ as our shepherd. And so that we are to be thinking at this time, how has he led you in different ways? Jesus says, if you remember in John 10, I am the good shepherd, and my sheep hears my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Jesus is the great shepherd of his sheep, and he has promised and is committed to lead us on paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He knows us and he calls us his own and he leads us faithfully through this life unto glory. And so we wanted to open up this first time of testimony, just directing your mind and hearts to Christ as our shepherd and to share accounts of how he has led you in unique ways throughout your life. And so we're just going to open this up for testimonies for 10 minutes and then we'll sing our next song. So please share how Christ has led you.
On February the 5th, 1961, in Zeno, Ohio, I came to Christ. He has been a shepherd to me, close and sweet. I could almost use that song as a testimony. I'll share this verse with you. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. This is from Psalm 34:1. I have found him so faithful, so merciful, so caring, and so loving, and I just wish to praise him tonight for shepherding me through 66 years of walking with him.
Well, Mary, I don't have 66 years, but 20 years ago this month, probably right about today, I walked into Grace Chapel for the first time on a Wednesday night, and Our testimony is that Patty and I moved a lot throughout our married life. A lot of times in New York, New England, and Connecticut, back to New York, back to Northern New York, and then 20 years ago, God moved us here. I never heard of West Liberty. I could barely spell Ohio. We've been here 20 years, and it's the longest time we've spent in any one place. And I was thinking about it this week because I knew the 20 years was coming, and I've just been so grateful for the way that God led me here to Ohio, and so very grateful for the way that he led me here. The testimony of a woman who said, well, if you're Baptist, you ought to land down at Grace Chapel. They're Baptist in everything but name down there, and you'll probably fit right in. And all I could say is the work God has done in our hearts and our lives through 20 years of faithful preaching, encouragement from the body, even through some very difficult times. And just the encouragement to know Christ and have him be our my all. So I am so very grateful for to God for leading us here and finally making it home for us.
Here recently, verse 3 has been, God has used in my life. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Just in, you know, our circumstances, had a lot of questions and just questioning God, you know, why. And this week, I was listening to something and it was like, I don't know why I thought I had the right idea of who God should be. He's given it to us right here, and that's good enough, and I have found peace in that. Questions maybe not answered. I don't have understanding about everything, but God tells us that we are his people, the sheep of his pasture, and he continues to shepherd me, and I praise him for that.
Just want to praise the Lord for him as a shepherd, as the ultimate shepherd, but using a bunch of sinful, broken under-shepherds to shepherd me, whether those be pastors or parents or elders or fellow youth group leaders, but people who have the Lord has used to make an impact on us and our kids, just in the body of Christ. So praising him for that.
All righty, I'll share. For many of you that have been here, you've heard my story about my mom, and that's why I'm here. But there's a new song by Chandler Moore in Elevation Worship. It's just God. It's the title's God, I'm Just Grateful For You. And it starts off with, there was no way until you made one. Grace upon grace, hallelujah. Even though I don't deserve it, you did it. Even though I couldn't earn it, you give it. Who am I that you keep me on your mind? God, I'm just grateful for you. And it goes on and on. And that made me tear up Friday night as I'm thinking about life in the last 4 years I've been here. So in May of 4 years ago, I flew out because my mom had her stroke. And was just doing my duty. My house was already sold, and I knew I was coming back here, but it hadn't hit me yet. And then I flew home to finish the school year teaching. I'm a teacher. And I drove back this time with my dog and everything, my only possessions I had in my car and my dog. And I pulled up to my mom and dad's house, and I got out of the car. And it hit me. Reality slapped dead in the face. You're here. California life is gone. And I called my friend. I put all my things in my house. And I walked outside of my house crying. And I called my friend Miguel. And I go, what did I do? I made the best decision of my life. 4 years. And God has moved in so many ways in my life. And I'm so thankful. And I was so scared at that time to take that step. And then looked up churches and found this place. And Mark welcomed me, trying to be invisible. But his one eye could see it. And it hasn't been the easiest 4 years. Didn't have a job, you know, and it's just, but I feel like God gave me those 2 years to take care of my mom and dad, but also gave me 2 years to establish my faith. Mark gave me that Bible, and I just finished it for the second time through and through. And I look forward to reading it 50 to 60 more times. Every day I'm in it. Every day you should be in it. I pray before I teach. I pray when things are bad, when things are rough, when things are good, and glorify him. But you just look back at my, I look back at my life for the last 4 years as I was listening to that song Friday night, and just tears streamed down my face. And I'm just so thankful. I met my wife here. I had never been married 40 years. No marriage, no kids. I had put myself first, and it led to nothing. Wave upon wave, tossed to and fro. And when you surrender and give yourself fully to the Lord, he will bless you so much. But you must surrender yourself, the death of self. It'll be the best blessing of your life. 40 years of being lost for some of you that are lost here. Run to him.
God, I'm just grateful for you. God, I'm just grateful for you.
And our next suggested focus for this evening is around Christ being our vine, and to think about the question of how has he given you strength or sustaining grace in life. I remember Jesus says in John 15, verse 5, these beautiful words, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Scripture is abundantly clear that Christ is our life, and that he is working in us both to will and do his good pleasure. And it is because Christ strengthens us that we can do anything he asks of us. And so for this next time of testimony, we'd like you to consider Christ as the vine. And if the Lord prompts you, to share some accounts of how he has strengthened you through certain moments in your life, or as he is currently strengthening you. Again, we'll do this for about 10 minutes, and then we'll sing our next song. So let's consider Christ as our vine.
So Exodus 4, Moses is talking with the Lord, and he says, Oh my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue. Then the Lord said to him, Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak. That verse, those verses really resonate with me because, I don't know, 5 years ago, we had the opportunity of teaching third and fourth graders. And I love kids, but standing in front of anybody, just, I couldn't do it. And in these last 5 years, I've just had such joy in teaching the kids, and it's been so cool to, I guess, to read what Moses went through, and I understand that. You know, I had such a fear, and Becky can attest to that. The first class, I was as stiff as a board up there. I had to read through the lines. I had to really look to her a lot because it comes naturally for her, but not for me. But it's just been really great to for the Lord to bring me to this place and grow me through that and to be my strength through that. And it's just been a joy, and I look forward to many more years of that.
That's Psalm 96, verse 10 says, Say among the nations the Lord reigns. And a couple weeks ago, I was working down in Dayton, and every time I go down there to work, I ask the Lord to give me at least one person that I can talk to tell them that the Lord reigns. And one day, particular day, I don't know why it always surprises me. I pray that I should be expecting something to happen, but when it does, I'm always kind of surprised. But this fellow walked up to me with a big smile, and I found out he was a Seventh-day Filipino missionary, Seventh-day Adventist that was working in Indianapolis. And he wanted to tell me all about that. And but it became very apparent really quickly that he really didn't know the Lord. He didn't know the scriptures. And the only reason I want to share this is because the Lord brought to my mind in that situation passages of scripture. And I was so thankful to be able to say, I'm only telling you what God has already said. And he does reign and rule in this world. And I just had a wonderful conversation with this fellow for maybe 30 minutes. And my heart was just very overwhelmed with that opportunity just to talk about the glories of Christ, share the gospel, encourage this man to repent and believe. And it was a wonderful answer to prayer. I'm just very thankful for it. So I was encouraged to keep praying that same prayer. Just give me one person today that I can tell them that the Lord reigns and say it among the nations. So.
Okay, I'm going to give you guys all a stiff neck from having to turn around. One of the benefits of having my husband work up here is he can just hand me a mic. He's like, here, go. So many of you guys know already that on New Year's Eve, I got diagnosed with a brain tumor. I had been having some headaches and vision issues, and I thought, man, being a new mom really is hard. And maybe I was spending too much time on my phone or something. And went in, and there's a brain tumor. It's been there, could have been 5, 10, 15 years. This has been growing steadily. And I remember when I first saw that picture, they like gave me the scan, and I looked at it, and I was like, okay, Lord, what do we have here? You know, what do you have planned for me? And I'm going to cry, of course, because that's how I process. But I just remember looking and being like, having this peace, though. I mean, I was not sure what it was going to look like, but just like, okay, Lord, this is, what are you going to do? What are you going to do through this? So I want to just point to what a blessing it has been and how crazy it is to say a brain tumor can be a blessing. But the blessing has come from all of you. Oh, the Lord used our body, the church. Sorry. to just come around us and show Christ's love. And the peace that came from the Lord was just out of this world. And I had people say, how can you be so calm about this? And I was like, I honestly don't know, other than the Lord gave me a peace knowing that even if I went into that surgery and woke up in heaven, what an awesome thing. I get to go be with the Lord. And having that peace really made so much of a difference through, you know, every doctor visit. And even when I had the staples removed, I thought, ah, I'm such a wimp. I can't take these little staples being removed. But Christ went to the cross for us. And he was a human. He felt that pain. And he could have just been like, these people aren't worth it. I'm done. I don't want to have to deal with this. I can go be in heaven ahead of a league of angels come rescue me. But Christ chose to stay on the cross. He chose to suffer for us. And I couldn't have done it. I'm sorry. If I had to die in front of you, I couldn't do it. I would have wimped out and been like, that hurts too bad. I can't do it. So it just has been, there's just been so many learning opportunities through all of it. And I just praise the Lord that he's been so good to our family through all of it. And I'm just so thankful, even though it's crazy to say, I'm thankful for a brain tumor. It helped me to realize the importance of each day is truly a blessing. And we take it for granted, especially as parents. You just get kind of busy with life. And it's just important to just remember each day God gives us as a gift, truly. So thank you.
I had to pick up the pastor's notes here. No, I just couldn't remember the 2 points. But how he leads and how he strengthens. And I was thinking about that in life when we have especially like long-term trials that can seem very dark and like there's no end. And someone gave me 10 years ago after Felicity passed away, it was actually my mom. She said, "Char, don't you know from Psalms 23 that he promises surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life?" And I think a lot of times we get hooked up on the beginning parts of those verses, right? He'll lead me beside still waters, so do these things. But surely goodness and mercy will follow you. And sometimes we need to stop and ask ourselves, how is that following me now, right? When we can't see ahead, we can't see out of the situation. And that made me think of another favorite verse of mine from Psalms 143:10. "Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground." And that last part there, "let your good spirit lead me on level ground," is definitely something I pray every day, and how the Spirit is the only one that can lead us. And in and of ourselves, we can't help ourselves. We can't see goodness, and we can't see mercy a lot of times in our dark times. And it's interesting for different things in my life I'm praying for, and the long-term thing, I'm already like thinking I'm at 5 years. How am I going to keep praying for this, Lord? And Zach got a call last week from the pastor of a former church, and he said, "I just wanted to call and tell you that they're having 3 new couples join." And he said, "Do you remember, I think it was 7 or 8 years ago during COVID, I guess I was praying with him and his wife Wednesday night, and I prayed for 3 new couples to join the church, like 3 married couples, because that community was very broken and you don't have a lot of whole families that attended the church." So he called and he told Zach that he remembered that. I totally forgot. And he thought, and Mark, our friend Mark, was like, "I thought it was weird. She prayed for three couples." And the Lord sent them like 8 years later. And so that just reminded me, just remembering that, I needed to think about that, that sometimes you could pray for a decade, and I'm sure some of you have prayed longer, and that surely goodness and mercy will follow me. And that really praying that the Spirit will lead you on level ground, he will day by day give you that peace and that strength. And I guess that sound mind that 1 Timothy talks about, to cast out your fear and give you that strength.
For our next suggested time of testimony, we want to consider Christ as the door, and the thought of how did Christ save you. Jesus said in John 10, verse 19, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will go in and out and find pasture." Jesus is the way of salvation, the way to the Father, the one in whom we find eternal life and rest for our souls. It is through Christ alone that we can draw near to God. And so for this final time of testimony, we just want to reflect on Christ being the door to salvation. And if the Lord prompts you to share accounts on how he drew you to himself through repentance and saving faith, and even the journey that he's taken you on since then by his grace. Again, we'll do this for a couple of minutes and then we'll celebrate communion together. So let's consider as a suggested time of testimony, how did Christ save you?
Well, I did not grow up in a Christian home. I wasn't saved until I was 23. My mom and dad were very loving parents, moral people. But I lost my dad when I was 14, and I kind of went wild for a while, lived a hedonistic lifestyle until I was about 23. I met a friend who talked about some of her beliefs. She kind of had an amalgam of a legalistic Baptist upbringing, New Age religion, and influence from a Jehovah's Witness. And so I saw some of her beliefs as detrimental to her life, and it caused me to dig into the scriptures. And so I went to the Word of God. I'm by nature and by former profession, I'm an investigative person and inquisitive. And so I dug into the Scriptures, trying to prove these beliefs wrong, to help my friend in this this life and this belief that that she was living. And so in searching the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit and God's Word drew me to Himself and proved Himself to be true, and I was born again. I had a pastor at the time. It was in a church that was kind of seeker sensitive, a Church of God background. He met with me at a Frisch's parking lot in Woodman Avenue in Dayton, and he explained the gospel to me, and I said, "Yeah, I understand that. I get that." And so he's like, "You know, I think you've already were saved, but let's say this prayer together." And so we did, and so I joined that church that he was in. He discipled me. We went through the Gospel of John, and there was another man there that was an engineer at the base, a very intelligent man. He helped me learn to study the Scriptures, and I grew. There was a very obvious and definite change in my life. And I just had new desires, and I had an unquenchable thirst for the Scriptures and the Word of God. And so I continued to grow. And then 99, so that was in the early 90s, 92, June of 92, I was saved. 99, I came here for counsel with Pastor Dernland. I had been through other types of Christian counseling, secular counseling, an amalgam of psychology and throwing in some Scriptures here and there. It didn't work. I came here and counseled with Pastor Dernland, met with him for 12 weeks, and it worked. The Scriptures are sufficient. And so from that time on, hearing the preaching of the Word, sitting under the counsel of good godly counsel, going through biblical counseling, training myself a couple different times down at Clear Creek, and being taught well, I every time I came upon a trial or a difficulty, and just digging, trying to understand what I was going through, I kept coming back to the Scriptures, and the Scriptures were always sufficient and satisfying. And I get to see you all live out the Scriptures in front of me, and I'm very grateful for that. And it's not just a Sunday morning thing for you all. It's something that you do and you live out, and you have a love for the Scriptures, and I'm grateful for that. And then Heather and I get to study and dig, and as I've had the opportunity to teach some Sunday school classes and learn on some topics and research and study, and she and I study together, and it's grown us in our relationship, and the Scriptures are more than sufficient. And it all began with me by just going to the Scriptures and studying. And I'm very, very grateful for that. And I'm grateful for y'all and how you live and love the Scriptures in a real way in your lives.
And I know we had suggested categories, but I'm going to, you know, blow that off, and I'm just going to go rogue. I was just thinking what I'm so thankful for. Like, I'm thankful that 20 years ago, Mark Hunt walked into this church and stayed and brought Patty. And Josh, I was so appreciating, thankful for your testimony, what God did in your life, and how He gave you such great wisdom to marry Laura. I'm thankful that, you know, in about 1965, my parents saw that the church that we went to, that was only 4 miles away, was starting to go in a direction they didn't want to go, and said, well, let's go to Aunt Helen's church. And so I've been here since then. I'm thankful for the people I went when I met and got to know when I was in college. That I didn't have any interest in being there, but you meet life-changing people in those situations. I'm thankful that farming was really tough in the early 80s, and I went to Honda, and not that I was excited about working on an assembly line, but it truly changed me just being with people every day, because, you know, I've told many people that, you know, if I would be in a room, I'd be behind the wallpaper. And I've gotten comfortable with people. I'm thankful for this body. You know, I've said it before. Sometimes I have to remind myself that I'm not related to most of you, but it feels like it, you know. I'm thankful for Pastor Dernlin, a man who, I said, he had this neon light on his forehead that says, I care. And I think for Pastor Jeff Mixon, when he was here, that nobody could make you feel loved like Jeff could. And I'm thankful that after those years of search for a pastor, we got Pastor Zach here. And it wasn't a make or break point, but I always was looking for a pastor who had a sense of humor. And God fulfilled that. I'm thankful for a lot of things, but I know you guys have to get home before midnight, so I'll stop right there.
We've had the opportunity to declare the Lord's grace and work in our lives this evening through our words and through our actions. And this week we get another opportunity as we go out from this place. We get to tell of his salvation from day to day. You know what? You just declared among the body of Christ needs to be declared outside the body of Christ this week. God will give you opportunities. May we pray that the Lord would give us courage to take advantage of those and to declare the saving work of Jesus Christ to a world that needs to hear it this week. So let's pray. And then we'll sing a closing song. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity we've had this evening just to meditate on your goodness and grace towards us as sinners who have been saved by the perfect work of Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you that we can testify tonight that despite our works, but because of his, we are righteous in your sight. We are forgiven of our sins. We are more than conquerors through him who loves us. And we are citizens of heaven awaiting an eternal kingdom that is our inheritance as joint heirs with Christ. Father, we thank you for this new life that you have given us in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah, what a Savior. May we share him this week to a lost and dying world that needs to hear. May we share the goodness of our Savior to our children, to our neighbors, our co-workers, our classmates, until we at last see him face to face. Give us grace towards this end, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.